August 1st, 2004, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
We'll be right back.
Watt from Pedro Show, August 1st, 2004 edition. Sunday here in Pedro, pretty gray. Sun's not out yet.
Yeah, lingering June gloom.
And it ain't even noon yet. So
what's up with that?
Get the palumbas going on the big dick extenders on the bike. We started the show off with Attaining, John Coltrane off his Sonship album. Much respect, I have a new John Coltrane pin.
Cool.
Craig Ibarra, Skater Cat.
Works
for UPS now.
Oh, yeah.
But he's the guy who organizes those benefits for the skate park here in town. And he made me a whole bunch of Coltrane buttons, some Deep Boom ones.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I got to bring you some Deep Boom ones, he meant. And speaking of which, we just played a song with Deep Boom there, Reactionaries from 1979. George Hurley on the drums, Martin Timberovich singing, some idiot on bass, and very honored to have as guest on the show, joining me and Brother Matt here in the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point, somewhere west of the Rockies, north of the equator. The subject matter of that too, which was Tony Gets Wasted Pedro, here he is, Tony Platten.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome.
Welcome, Tom.
Hello, Mr. Watt.
So, finally we get you on the show. Me and Brother Matt's been doing it now a couple years. I think we're almost up to 70 shows. And having a lot of fun with it. But it's great to have you aboard. How long you know me, Tom?
I'd say about 35 years now. You can imagine that. That's what, about fourth grade?
Yeah.
Wow.
So we go back.
So Tone's probably my oldest friend in Pedro. Yeah. Get some agua down the hatch here. Yeah, me and Tone's done a lot of miles. Took you on a couple tours.
Three tours.
Yeah, fire hose.
See the country.
Yeah. Tone's never been on a jet.
Oh, wow.
But maybe in a few months, I will be.
Yeah, me and Tone are planning.
Cool.
On,
possibly Bora Bora. We've been,
wow.
That's possible. Trying to find some place he hasn't been to.
Cool.
And a lot of people have told me it's like, in that time of the year, it's summer. Seeing as how I don't ever get summer off doing my business.
It's, yeah.
So I thought that might be interesting.
Yeah, it's a trip. I'm at, you know, that Dublin thing on Bloomsday last month. Well, actually, in June, that was actually my first time going to a town without playing it. So that's when I got the idea when I came home. I think it was the night I came home, I called Tone.
Yep.
I usually call Tone every night, right, Tone?
Yep. It's about every night.
All these years. And when I was talking to him, like, you know what, Tone? That was a trip to do that, go to a town without playing, you know? And so, why don't me and you go to a town? So that's kind of what got it going. So maybe, and Tone, some cats on his route, Tone cleans pools, and some guys had been to Bora Bora and told him they got kind water. It's French part of Micronesia, like. The biggest island there, it's Tahiti. And he said there's clear water, not a lot of people.
So you can see 30 feet down and see the body, you know, and they said that it's just, in fact, the two people I've talked to have actually told me it's like the most beautiful island or place they've been in the world.
Wow.
I mean, if, you know, again, that's relatively speaking, someone's opinion, but these are a couple of people that would travel a lot. And they said it's a good place to think if you've never been there. Mm. Many places in the world you can go to, I guess.
Yeah, so that's happening. Me and Tone's been to a lot of gigs. Remember the Alice Cooper gig?
We were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah. But D Boone's pop took us to the gig, and it was this little Oldsmobile two-door. How many cats
we had
crammed in there?
Nine people in there.
Yeah, we had two cats in the trunk.
Two guys in the trunk, even on the way home.
The Forum. Oh, man, we were crushed in there.
Nobody could walk when they got out of the car.
Susie Quattro opened.
Susie Quattro, and Alice Cooper, it was the Welcome My Nightmare tour. And he had Lou Reed's two guitar players playing with him on that.
Right, he didn't have his, it was the first tour without his band.
He had Hunter and Wagner playing. And
right,
and
so John.
How old were you guys?
A couple really fine guitar players.
Oh, we were young.
15, 14?
No, a little older than that. Because it's Alice Cooper after his band.
And so I believe we had one Lanyo for the whole gig, which was kind of...
We were crammed in that Oldsmobile. I mean, it was a tiny little car. And
yeah.
And it was can't believe pain. It. And it was, yeah, like 20 miles. It took like an hour. Oh, man. I mean, D-Boom wasn't as big. Remember playing football with D-Boom?
Yeah, we used to play at Peck Park every weekend. And
he wasn't fast. Almost everybody got a shot tackling him, but it was hard bringing him down.
It
he
usually
was strong.
Took five or six people to take him down. And then he'd just carry him down the field as they were hanging on.
Yeah. He's a tractor. Now, as far as guitar.
D-Boom, of course, as many of you know, started out a lot of stuff, I think, before other people were playing it. I think maybe he was one of the best guys at figuring out really complicated guitar stuff early in his career.
But he helped you.
He taught me the first four songs I know. He was doing a little guitar teaching, remember, on the
That's
side.
That's right.
All right, and if I can remember right, I believe it was Locomotive Breath from Jethro Tull and Lucky Man from ELP and From the Beginning, and then
Down
I'm 18,
corner.
Alice Cooper. Those
Alice
were the first
Cooper.
Songs he taught me. So he was out there. But he figured out a lot of Blue Oyster Cult stuff, which I thought was really cool. It was very hard for me to figure
Harvester
out.
Harvester-wise.
And he knew all these parts, you know, and nobody
Hot
else seemed to know.
Hell.
So I thought he was kind of ahead of his time for a guitar player for his age. That's kind of, you know, lame thing he's not
And
hearing.
Now Tone has a bunch of guitars. How many, Tone?
As of last week, I count, I think, about 27.
Wow.
And, well, that's counting mandolins.
Yeah, for the family.
And so later on the spin cycle part of the show
those
today, Tone's going to jam with Brother Matt.
Cool.
Those are additions
to my family.
Which
one did you bring?
Family. Actually, I brought a Paul Reed Smith clone. So it's really nice. It's an RJP. It's these three Korean dudes that are here in America, but they own a company in Korea. And what they do is they live here, but they manufacture these guitars over there. And this is a knockout, but it's a really nice guitar. Actually, it's very light. It only weighs about 4 pounds. It's really resonant and it just plays really great. I was going to bring the SG.
Driving over here, we saw some old people paint.
Yeah.
Now, like D-Boom was an artist.
D-Boom, the last thing I think he painted.
You used to paint too.
He used to paint a lot, but he's kind of put it aside.
But those old people. Reminded you, so you're going to get back to
well,
painting.
I told Mike I should start painting again.
Well, you said your ma said.
My mom was telling me to start. She goes, you better start painting again. It's because you're getting old. You haven't painted anything in a long time. So I was kind of into the Salvador Dali thing, kind of, you know, Georgia O'Keeffe type of paintings. If anything, that's kind of what I'm into art-wise.
Abstract.
Abstract art.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I don't like a lot of other people's stuff. But as far as painting things, that's what I would fall into in that kind of category.
You brought some music today, Tone.
Brought some music today.
What are we going to play here?
We're opening up, I believe, with Passion, Grace, and Fire, and that's John McLaughlin with Al Di Meola and Papa De Lucia.
Right, guitars.
You know, it's
a guitar record.
That's guitar stuff. I brought a lot of guitar music.
Okay, let's listen to that now on the Watt from Pedro Show. Thank you.
nose behind. It's going up that grind. The grapevine all the way out of L.A. I was on Figueroa at the time, right out of that tunnel. That's the first time I ever bought a gross condom. I was so excited, I made him say, actually, you know what it was? The other fella bet me $10 it was a man. You're out of your mind. Yep. She ran across the street nude. I swear, just like she was born, she ran. Well, at least that isn't how it began, but... Husband's little Filipino. She's big, tall, natural blonde, kind of redhead, you know, kind of that... Sparkling, like sort of like you might take a Ann Sheridan, a little too dark, but a little lighter on. Like actually, the falseness of Rita Hayworth as a redhead, that sort of a sheen. Boom, nice and clean. Dum bum bum. But anyways, almost anything's better than being judged by Roy Bean. That's given to understand, ever. Lang tree, you know, you can hang from any tree. But right now, you're hanging on this one with me. Climb that tree faster than you can skin the cat. Well, now, wait a minute. Now, something else there. I didn't want to say it quite that way, but when you got a cat skinner named Disaster, Missy Lou don't know just quite what to do. Now, the D8. 9. And the biggest of the commercial line, D12. Twin sixes. I'd rather have that than the V16. It's a make too much of that, though. Well, I don't mean to say stand there. 196 is going when it took off there in a Sands Daytona that day. About, certainly 7-11 before 10, I'd say. 196. Well, now, Seagreave lost his life same way. 25 like the other union, 35. They get later, but same thing, wind, you know, and put him right into the surf. Or, you know, tide came in. That's true, too. Combination of the things, and I put by the mistake that Fitzgerald would seem to be concerned about. And I mean F. Scott. The stupidity of a lost scene is a stupidity of in between. Now, you heard that finger come down on that string there. We dare us change into in between.
Pedro Show. That was Anchoring Down by the Doers, Vancouver, Canada band, where I played the bass because their bass player fell off a roof and was almost killed. So he played, he was a little healed up when they had me come up and do that. I did a few songs. It's a record called I Can Enjoy Almost Anything. And I'm on five of the songs. No, he didn't play guitar on that song. He just watched. His name is Barry, or is Barry. He's a sweet guy. He's healed up now, and he's playing bass. We can hear you clomping around there, Tom. Why don't you calm it down?
Just say something.
Anyway, I had to learn it right there on the spot, so... give any plans. Before that, we had Neil Cassady. He's the man who drove
The bus.
Well, yeah, later on. But first, his first gig was driving Jack Kerouac around for the On the Road thing. And then he ended up driving Kesey and the Merry Pranksters around on that bus. And a little spoken word piece called Grapevine Out of L.A. We've done the Grapevine out to him. Was it last year? I took him to San Francisco?
Yeah, we went up and actually it might have been too when you
played with Les Claypool.
Yeah, Les Claypool.
Where was that at? The Fillmore.
And the Flying Fearless Flying Frog Brigade.
At the Fillmore.
At the Fillmore.
With Banyan. I forgot the new Banyan album. Played some last show, but it's supposed to be coming out. Perkins told me the name of it. Well, the working title is Live from the Perkins Palace. Perkins Palace was a gig here years ago.
Pasadena?
God, yeah, in Pasadena, an old theater. Played there with Butthole Surfers and Sex Gang Children or something. Somebody from England.
I remember you guys played with them in Firehose in a little basement club. There's only like one exit door and there's like 400 people down there. We kept talking about if this place is going to catch on fire that nobody
with
could
the
get
buttholes?
Out. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Damn, I forgot. I have to, next show, because Gibby just sent me his new record. Gibby's got a band called Gibby Haynes and His Problem, and he just sent me the new CD. So, next show, more new Banyan and the new Gibby. I just got advanced copies of my record. I give Brother Matt one and Tone one. Tomo's bumming because there's no guitar on it.
No, I didn't say that.
What did you say in the boat?
I said one of these days, maybe I should play a little guitar on one.
Yeah. You're on a New Alliance record, right? Mighty Feeble or something?
Yeah, way back.
Right. And you were part of the compilation, Our Band Could Be Your Life.
Yeah.
You played with me and Joe Boone, right?
Sickles and Hammers.
Yeah. Speaking of Old Minute Man, myself and George Hurley have been invited to play at the English version of All Tomorrow's Parties, December 3rd. And then the day before, Shellac is playing a London show, and they asked us to open. So we're going to play two England gigs in December. Me and George has a duet doing Old Minute Man songs. We did one here at Dancing Waters. Brother Matt went. In fact, he's got the poster on the poster, Brother Matt. Tone didn't go.
Speaking of...
What, the bone phone?
No.
There's the poster, Tone. You saw him around town,
right?
Right,
there's posters all around town.
That actually was the third gig, because we did one at the All Tomorrow's Party at the Queen Mary in November.
I believe you.
November. And then... A few years ago, we did this benefit called Class 77 up at the El Rey Theater up in L.A. for a benefit for Flipside Magazine. So me and Georgie have done it three times, and we get a little better each time, so hopefully.
I believe Agent Orange is playing down there this week.
They're trying to bring regular gigs in.
Yeah.
Some old friends of yours.
Yeah.
Dale, too, they're trying to get him in there.
He's going
to
play. Wow.
I saw him the other night on TV.
Well, you know what they call his fans?
Dickheads?
Yeah.
No. Lucky guess.
You got it, Tone.
That little guy still shreds.
He wails, and then he plays trumpet. And,
and he lives in a trailer out in the desert, I think, right? Okay.
So there's Tiger doing haircuts and stuff?
I think his son, doesn't he have a son that plays with him or something like that? Am I wrong on that?
I haven't seen him since the Dewey Weber longboard contest.
By the way, on any Sunday is on tonight for any motorcycle fans, like old motorcycle movies.
Did you go to the first Super Bowl motocross?
I went to a few of those,
They had the big wreck on the first corner.
Yeah, I think the first one,
they had a wreck on the first corner of the first race, and like 50 guys piled up.
Was it the Coliseum, I believe, back in the
Some dude wrecked 80s. In the front, so they all like piled into him and ran each other over.
They worked at KMET then, so we used to have the run of the place. It was fun. They had a bunch of those big events there.
It was actually the start of something really big, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Tone, it had already been going on in Europe, but he came over here. Yeah. Tone had an international scout, four-wheel driver. So Tone used to go up 9th Street before they had Friendship Park.
Go up nuts on the hill.
Start wheeling it up.
People would stop and like, kind of look and say, who's...
You know. It's kind of balls out, right? You can't stop
it's
or
very,
you'll flip.
I've seen people turn them over on that. You know, you can, remember, you can't turn a vehicle around once you're on it. You always back it down, but some people might use it. And that's the first car I learned to drive a stick shift in. This guy that taught me took me out to this place.
Real low gearing. He'd get up to 50 miles an hour on the freeway, and it'd be spinning like a top.
It was like 488.
And it was a huge four.
It was
four cylinder, but like coffee can pistons, like a 300 cubic inch four.
No, it was actually a 151. I called it the Bacardi mobile because it was a 151 half of V8 International, and you couldn't find parts for it, but like one place in all of California. And so
a 151 ain't that big.
No, but it was the biggest four cylinder they made, and very large. The piston heads were like this.
That's about 2,200 cc.
But again, it didn't matter because it was for hill climb, and it would climb like some guy used to joke around. I said, "Well, you can climb telephone poles with this thing, but you couldn't drive it on the freeway." Which we did. We took the doors off, and the window would fold down so you could go shooting and stuff. And you end up like you're some insane guy, but but it really was.
Yeah, take the windshield down, get on the freeway.
It was just
catch all the bugs in the face.
But it was a fun vehicle.
How many front ends you snap? Differentials.
Differentials, a few. It had really low, like 488 front rear gears, which is, you know.
And the tolerances, you had to have player that snapped.
If you put bigger tires on, you had to compensate, which you could change the ring and pinion gears, which we didn't. So you had to
torque them up,
snapping the axles, trying to climb stuff. But it was a good experience. Learned to work on like differentials and transmissions on that thing. And
Tone was actually rear-ended in a Pinto and lived.
Whoa. Yeah, about 40 mile an hour guy rear-ended me.
At a stop sign.
Man.
It didn't like explode.
Snapped the seatbelt.
It broke the safety, but the brackets holding. No, the brackets that held the seat were busted. Whatever. I walked through it. So
yeah, and it didn't blow up.
But some of those, I don't know what year they were that did.
Well, the wagon, I think, was a little more guarded.
Because it was big.
His pop had a yellow Pinto wagon he used. He worked at Barker Brothers up on Flower.
One time, there was three. We had every Pinto in the family, like the hatchback, the liftback, and the wagon. Like, pretty embarrassing. You know, Dad would come home with this new car, and it was a Pinto. You know, it was like, oh, man, shit, not the Pinto.
All right, I just got this in the mail. It's a band. Where are they from? I don't know where they're from. Where's 740 area code? Probably looked that up on the Webski. But anyway, I got this in the mail. I can't remember.
Maybe orange where area.
From, but they're called the Reproductive Organs.
714, right?
And here's a tune from them called Roll the Boulder, Watt from Pedro Show.
died. There's many more that probably should have died. There's a lot of people who've died. There's many more that probably should have died. There's a lot of people who've died.
Pedro show. Tone, you picked that one?
Yes, I did, for all the surfers out there.
Right.
We're smoking their bongs right now.
Surfer Joe and Mo the Sleaze. Off Neil's Reactor record. Neil Young, a big hero of yours. You got a lot of his records on, Tone.
So I like Neil Young. He's, I believe, a very unique entertainer.
He's a hell of a man.
He likes those trains, those Lionel trains.
Big train.
Yeah, you're a big train.
Okay, before train. That we had Replicator. I don't know where they're from. Damn. You online, Brother Matt?
Well, it's got some problems.
See, gotta put Linux on there.
Yeah.
Linux. I think these cats are from
OC?
NorCal. Okay. Like Berkeley or something. Replicator with the, oh God, the shit all stuck together here. No, they're from Oakland, I'm sorry. And that tune was called The Weight of Three Marlon Brandos.
Who is no longer with us.
Yeah. So maybe he might be weighing a little less these days.
You think they lipoed them really good before they put them in the box?
And before that, we had Bo Ray. Don't know where he's from, but that was his tune called When I Talked to the President, He Was Loaded. Although it didn't have lyrics. Instrumental interpretation of that. He had a little letter with his CD. He said, well, what? He said, go start your own band, so I did. So that's great. Much respect, Bo Ray. Keep forging ahead. And we started off that little set there with Roll the Boulder by the Reproductive Organs. Never found out where they came from. But I'm sure we can all relate to those. Sort of. You got two sons, right, Tom?
Yes, I do.
Yeah?
Let's hope they're not reproducing anybody right now.
Nathan, Michael, right? How old are they?
Michael's 21 and Nathan's 18.
Nathan's playing guitar.
They both play guitar.
That's right. That's right. Michael plays too. Nathan's been playing with some people.
Yeah.
He got hosed out of the Ozfest by some buddies. Supposed buddies.
Yeah.
Clowns. Well, karma whales. We're at the end of the first hour of the Watt for Pedro show, August 1st, 2004 edition. Hold tight for hour two. August 1st, 2004. It's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro show.
star. She loved me so good, she made a daddy mad. My woman cried, she's dead to me now. My woman ran off, I can't deny it. My life, if she deserves a killer, I'm satisfied. Good. I got my phone to preach to. My boss yelled, he said to me now. My boss kicked me out, and I can't deny it. My life is Jesus as a killer. I'm satisfied, I can't deny it.
Show, that was Duckman Do with the cover of the Minutemen's Jesus and Tequila. Before that we had Slippery Slope by National Monument, Vampire Waltz from the Burning Brides, and we started the second hour off with The War at Home by the Giant Haystacks Bay Area Band. Now, without further ado, it's my privilege and honor welcome aboard once again Brother Matt and the Spin Cycle and special collaborator Tony Platten on guitar. Vinny Vegas here in the Peanut Gallery.
Hey guys,
cheer them on.
Yeah.
Here we go.
So they can
go.
me, give me funk, give me to give some more, give me to give me some more.
been hanging on the step, and I've been playing it straight, but I just gotta cut loose before it gets late. So I'm going. Said, boy, don't follow your heart. I knew you'd be fine at the end of the line, and all the gold doesn't shine. No, you and your one true love ever caught. I've been walking the room, and I've been living on the edge, and I just gotta go before I get to the edge.
Why, Bob, you want to show the session work out? It's a boss when I check it.
Shh.
What? It's what come, it's 9, eh? Why is Mr. Talkative that
yes.
enough? Why afraid I'm like us? I will see you here.
Of course.
Mr. Chatterbox, how long will you live? Always to receive, but never to give. Always carry news all over the place. Mr. Chatterbox,
you're a big disgrace. You cheat and you don't, I go let you down. And when them let you down, we are gonna batter you around. Big pop, boom, those are the blows you're gonna get. Mr. Talkative, I know you will regret. How long will you live? Always to receive, but never to give. Always carry news all over the place. Mr. Chatterbox, you are a big disgrace. You cheat and dunk, dunk, dunk. I go let you down. And when them let you down, we are gonna batter you around. Hey, beep from back from both. Those are the blows you're gonna get. Hey, Mr. Talkative. How long will you live? Always to receive, but to never to give. Always carry news all over the place. Mr. Chatterbox, you are a big disgrace. Your teeth and tongue, I go let you down. And when them let you down, we are gonna batter you around. Beep from bap from boop from that's the blows you're gonna get. Mr. Chatterbox, I know you will regret. Ooh, yeah. Mr. Chatterbox, ooh, yeah. Mr. Chatterbox, ooh, yeah. Watch it. Mr. Chatterbox, noozy, 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 noozy.
Walk from Pedro Show. Here's some old Bob Marley from the 60s. Mr. Chatterbox. What's that, Mr. Chatterbox? Yeah, Mr. Chatterbox. It's from a new Natty Rebel 2-CD thing of stuff when he was a younger man. See, yeah, Bunny Lee produced that, 1970. So, this is the older days before the Bob Marley that everybody kind of knows of, but he started with Peter Tosh and Bonnie Whaler and these guys. Bonnie's still touring. I think he's coming to the
Bowl
next week. Yeah,
he's at the Hollywood Bowl this weekend, I think.
Next weekend,
huh? Yeah.
Still touring around, of course, Mr. Tosh.
It's jamming with
Mr. Marley. That was terrible. He was shot to death.
Yeah.
And I guess somebody tried to shoot, Bob died of cancer, but they tried to shoot him too. I guess he just got hit in the arm or something. So, before Bob, we had something, this Carlton Sandrock put out these things. Some Rare Jimmy, that was Lover Man, from an outtake. Unfortunately, you got to read these books. They come with these things and know what's up. They just don't want to fuck with the pretty art on the boxes, so it's hard to know what the fuck is what, you know. So I apologize for being kind of ignorant, but here it is. May 1970 at the Record Plant, unreleased track until alternate versions were issued on the Jimi Hendrix Experience box set. Okay, so that's some scoop on there. Be good to hear Jimmy. Oh. Especially after all that guitar flail from Tone.
Yeah.
Thanks much, Tone. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Before Jimmy was Richard Hell doing a Bob Dylan song, Going, Going, Gone. It's a self-portrait album.
That's a good song.
And so, yeah, Brother Matt, from your spin cycle with Tone whirling away, what's that like?
Cool, thanks. Yeah, it was like that Banco de Gaia at the end that started clicking in. It was kind of hard, like as soon as you didn't want vocals, so it seemed like everything I put in had vocals. But it worked out.
Yeah,
cool.
They were kind
fine.
Of incidental vocals. It wasn't like this.
Yeah.
I just said it at the end, I think. I played through it.
Yeah, that's cool. I liked it. Thanks.
That stuff on the end was, I just say that's kind of psychedelics. I like that stuff, too.
Vinny Vegas, good you motivation. Came aboard. What'd you think about that?
Oh, it was awesome, man. Tony.
What were you saying about it? You were saying something about it.
Fingers, it was fast. Dude was on fire. Man, my aunt got tired just watching his real profit.
All right, Tom, thanks so much.
Yeah, it's real good.
Donate the sounds for the collaboration throwdown. Looks like we're coming up the end of the second hour here of the August 1st, 2004 edition of the Watt from Pedro Show. The sun has come out. That's par for summer.
The 80s band covers coming in from the park pretty soon.
That's next week, ain't it?
Next week's a taste. I think today's the last Sunday concert.
Oh. Yeah, but they're going to have all them clowns are coming in to go get more money. Yeah, you know, I'm going to get interviewed. And I'll talk about this next hour, but I got something to say about that. Till then, hold tight for hour three. August 1st, 2004. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show, and here's part two of Jack Flanders in Dreams of the Blue Morpho.
I never liked that hotel. It's pompous and pretentious. How did you know?
That it's pompous and pretentious?
No, you know what I mean.
Oh, that you were having an encounter with the light.
Yeah.
Binoculars.
You were watching me with binoculars?
That's right.
Is that the way you operate?
Look, I was walking on the beach and I looked up and there was your hotel. You see, up there.
Oh, so that's it.
Well, I figured that one must be your balcony, and, well, there you were, acting strangely. I knew Mojo had binoculars, so...
Did you think I was going out of my mind?
Well...
Did you see it?
The light?
It was right there.
Where?
On the balcony with me. You couldn't see it?
No,
Well, I don't know why I expected you would. When Mojo told me about you, it doesn't matter.
Are you sure?
I don't know.
Amy, have you ever tried to step into the light?
I want to get away from it. Why would I do something that stupid?
Look, I'm just trying to understand what it is.
I don't like people watching me with binoculars.
I'm sorry.
Oh, forget it.
It won't happen again.
Okay, I have tried to touch it, but it always backs away. Mm-hmm.
It never touched you.
No.
Mojo said you were born in Costa Rica?
I left when I was 6 years old.
You speak Spanish?
A little. Un poquito.
Do you remember where you lived in Costa Rica?
It was a banana plantation. I don't know if the house is still there. My father was, I guess, what you'd call a banana boss.
Boss banana?
Something like that. A manager. After I was born, my mother left.
Ah. Do you remember her?
No.
She left when you were a baby.
Yes. I was a twin.
You have a twin sister?
She died at birth.
I see.
I used to make believe that she was still here. And we'd play together and we'd tell each other secrets. Mm-hmm. She was very real to me.
Do you know where she was buried?
No. Well, I think, if I'm not making this up, I think it was on the plantation, not far from the hacienda. I think there was a marker. Mm-hmm.
And your mother? Did you ever see her again?
No.
Do you know what happened to her?
She died some years ago.
What do you remember about your mother?
Nothing.
And your sister?
As I said, she died at birth. My mother was a subject that was never talked about.
Why?
That's the way it was.
It's the next morning. The sun brightly shines in through the open windows at Mojo's rented bungalow perched above the beach. Jack slowly shuffles out onto the porch, still a bit foggy from his flight. Let alone the late and lively night he spent with his elbows on a lily pad, sipping margaritas at Senor Frog's.
Morning.
Good morning.
Buenos dias.
Yeah, right. Whatever. Oh, coffee. Thank God. Mm. Oh, see the way it eats the glaze right off of this cup. This is just the strength I need this morning.
Mojo and I have been talking.
We figured you'd like to see more of this country.
Oh, fine.
There's a lot of things to do here.
Huh?
Would you like to go rafting?
You mean paddling down some river, crashing into rocks, getting drenched, all that white water stuff?
That's right.
I think I'll pass.
Well, how about horseback riding?
You mean bouncing up and down, getting scratched by thorns, that sort of thing?
Oh.
You know about the canopy tour they have?
You mean the one where they make you wear a harness and you hang upside down on a cable over the jungle?
That's right.
Oh, Mojo, I don't think so.
Do you like to surf? Snorkel? Fish? Bicycle?
Well, I don't know.
Is there anything you'd like to do in Costa Rica?
Right now?
Yes.
Right now, I just would like another cup of this Costa Rican killer coffee.
Is he always this hopeless?
Ask him if he'd like to go birding.
Birding? Now there's an idea.
Oh, bird watching. Yeah, sounds real exciting.
Then let's do it. Let's go to Monteverde.
Monteverde?
Monteverde.
What's that?
The Monteverde cloud forest.
You mean a rainforest?
No, cloud forest.
Well, I assume it's not a forest of clouds.
No. A cloud forest is formed when moist, warm air sweeping in off the ocean is forced upward by the mountain slopes, and as the moist air rises, it cools, forming clouds. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. A forest filled with clouds.
Well, the clouds cling to the slopes, and the moisture condenses on the trees. The constant level of moisture has given rise to an incredible diversity of life forms.
Just about every inch of forest has something growing on it.
There's trees covered with orchids.
And there's giant ferns from the age of the dinosaurs.
So it's pretty high up, like in the clouds.
Monteverde was settled by the Quakers back in the 50s.
Quakers? Oh, you mean like friends?
Yeah, Quakers from the U.S., right.
Yeah, they do duck calls, right?
Duck calls?
No, man, you're thinking of quackers.
Oh, right. The crackers.
No, not the crackers. That's white folks.
Oh,
are you
right.
Just trying to be funny?
So what else do they do in Monteverde?
There's an orchid garden.
Mm-hmm.
A butterfly garden.
Oh, but you can't eat them.
What?
Butterflies.
Eat butterflies?
I told Jack about those butterflies that put out cyanide when something tries to eat them.
Cyanide?
So, is that it for Monteverde?
No, don't forget the cheese factory.
Oh, can't wait.
They have some really fine restaurants.
Hmm.
And there's bird watching.
How about watching the bird watchers?
Oh, now that's something that really excites me.
The road to Monteverde is made of dirt and rocks and potholes. Once you turn off the paved Pan American Highway, Highway 1, it's pretty much all uphill, dusty, bumpy, and occasionally your SUV four-wheel drive will bottom out, scraping the underside, causing sparks and metal screechings. You'll crank the steering wheel this way and that way, attempting to avoid potholes and boulders, and the occasional cow.
Mojo, is this the only way there? I can feel my internal organs are being rearranged.
When the Quakers came up here in the 1950s, it took about 2 weeks to get up here.
Yeah, well, what'd they do, come by ox cart?
That's right.
I don't think they've done much in the way of road improvement since then.
You know what they have up here?
Oh, I can't imagine.
It's really beautiful, too.
Beautiful road?
No, a toad.
The golden toad.
Oh, is it really... Is it really golden?
Well, it's only about an inch long, but it's this bright neon orange.
Brightest colored toad in the world.
Sometimes you'd see hundreds at a time.
Yeah, well, I can hardly wait.
No one's seen one in about 10 years.
Oh, that's too bad.
But look at the view. Look down there. Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah, it's also straight down, but I have to admit... With no guardrails to actually obstruct the view, it's enough to take one's breath away.
Several bouncing hours later, They finally arrive at their lodge in Monteverde.
Oh, next time I'm taking the ox cart.
Come on.
Oh. You know, I noticed that no one bothered to tell me it was going to be a three-hour drive all uphill on a dusty, rutted, rocky, pitted, potholed road.
That's the kind of drive that inspired Elvis.
What do you mean?
He means I'm all shook up.
I'm going to take a shower. I'll see you two at dinner.
Nice air up here.
Mojo, do you think Amy's little light is becoming a little dangerous?
Dangerous to Amy or to anyone who tries to get near her?
Amy thinks it wants her to die.
I don't know about that. But one of us has got to stay close to her.
And then what? We just don't know what it is.
I know.
You know?
I'm just agreeing I know we don't know.
You know, Mojo, with all your esoteric knowledge, your studies of the occult, psychic phenomena, my God, you even know voodoo. I mean, you must have heard about something similar to this.
This isn't some Moroccan witch's curse or some entity trying to inhabit Amy. You haven't seen this light, but I have. It's physical. It's three-dimensional. It's alive. And it wants her.
It wants her for what?
That's what we gotta figure out.
Yeah. And soon.
Late that afternoon, as the sun is beginning to set and the shadows of the giant trees stretch out across the rolling landscape, Jack and Amy take a stroll down a path along the edge of the forest.
The air here is really special.
Yeah, there's quite a view from up here. What's that body of water way over there?
The Gulf of Nicoya.
Ah, some distance, huh? Really up high.
Have you seen these trees? Aren't they amazing?
Yeah. That one with the roots above the ground. It's exactly like what I saw in the Amazon rainforest. And here they are growing on the top of a mountain.
Where are all the bird watchers?
They go to bed early. You know, with the birds.
I see why the Quakers fell in love with Monteverde. Mm-hmm.
Amy?
Hmm?
Do you mind if I kiss you?
Jack, I don't think it's a wife.
No, listen to me. If we appear to be lovers, then there's a fair chance that your friend will appear.
But you can't see it.
Well, maybe. We'll see.
That's why you want to kiss me.
Well, what other reason would there be? And who knows? Maybe I'll be able to see the light.
Really?
There is a way to see an apparition. You don't look directly at it. Instead, you watch out for it, out of the corner of your eye. So?
You want a kiss?
Sure. It's like a couple of teenagers, remember?
All right. But don't let your hands stray, okay?
God forbid.
Yeah, right.
Come here. That wasn't too bad.
I've had better.
Okay. Let's try again.
And, how often will we be doing this?
Oh, just now and then. To see if we can attract your jealous little friend.
Do you think it's jealous?
I don't know. You don't see any lights lurking about, do you?
No.
Maybe it knows that we're faking it.
Jack, that was a pretty good fake.
Shall we try again?
Let's keep walking. Do you ever feel like part of you is missing?
How do you mean?
I don't know. But there's something inside you, but you can't reach it.
Go on.
I feel there's someone that's near me. I don't mean the light. It's different. It's something else.
Maybe it's another side of yourself.
I don't know. I've had recurring dreams where there's a door that I open, and suddenly I'm looking at my own face. It's a face I've never seen before.
It's your face, but you've never seen it?
No.
Do you think maybe you're seeing your dark side?
How would I know?
Well, did it have little horns and sharp teeth?
What?
I'm just kidding.
Thanks.
Look, we all have a dark side.
What I'm talking about is, well, sometimes I wonder what it's like to have been born a Siamese twin, and then to be surgically cut free of each other.
Is that what you feel like?
It's like part of me was separated at birth.
Isn't that because you had a twin sister who died at birth?
I don't think that's it. Have you ever felt this way?
No, but I have been involved in relationships where we were so close that when we separated, I felt as if I were physically torn in half.
That's it. That's what I'm saying. Only I felt this way all my life.
Your mother left your father when you were a child, right?
Right after I was born.
And your father, he never told you.
Jack, I don't want to talk about my mother.
Well, do you get depressed when you think about her?
No, I get headaches. Okay, look. I feel there's a part of me that I've never met, but it's trying to tell me something. I know that light is connected to this, but I don't know how or why or in what way. Oh, God. Maybe I would be better off dead.
Hey, come here.
I can't keep going. It's trying to drive me crazy.
Amy, Mojo and I are here to protect you. We're not going to allow you. You see something?
Yes.
The light?
Yes.
Where?
Behind you.
What? I don't see it.
It's gone.
Looks like I... Wait a minute. I just got a glimpse of something.
Can you see it?
No, but I feel it. Oh, my God. There it is.
Where?
Don't look. It's up in the trees, directly above us.
You really see it?
Yes. And it's not just glowing. It's sort of pulsating. I'm going to hold you close, okay?
Okay.
I want to see how it reacts.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming down.
I can feel it.
I don't think it likes me.
I know.
It's hovering just above us. Maybe it's being cautious. Or maybe... Ow! Ow! Did you feel that?
What?
I don't know. It's a... I'm getting nauseous.
Get away! Get out of here! Leave!
No.
Alone.
Wait, don't. It's gone.
That thing took a swipe at you?
Not exactly. I'm not sure.
You okay now?
A little headache, a little nausea, that's all.
Looks like your little ruse worked just fine.
Hmm?
You know, appearing like you and Amy got something going on between you two.
I wonder if this apparition, this phenomenon, what do we call this thing?
The light fandango.
Right. I wonder if it ever succeeded in killing anyone.
It probably never had to. Anyone wooing Amy would have hightailed out of town before then.
Well, what if I stand my ground? What do you think will happen?
I don't think that's a good idea.
No?
Who's to say that your ground was always going to be there for you to stand on?
The next morning, as they have breakfast in the vacant dining hall of their lodge...
Where is everyone?
The early birder gets the bird.
Gets the bird.
I want to leave.
Amy, we just got here.
I want to leave now, this morning.
Well, this is a nice place, but if you want to... Oh, God.
What's wrong?
What did they do to this coffee?
Let me see.
Oh.
Yeah, it's been watered down.
Diluted perfectly good coffee.
It's because there are so many American tourists in Monteverde.
They watered down the coffee for the gringos?
Probably.
Yeah, it's those damn birders. You know, if they drank the real Costa Rican coffee, they wouldn't be able to hold their binoculars straight.
Oh, come on.
No, he's right. A cup of the real stuff and they'd be hopping up and down doing bird calls.
So. Oh, God, it's terrible. Where are we going now?
You know where I'd like to go? Guanacaste.
Monteverde is in Guanacaste?
I mean, further north, up toward Playa Flamingo or Playa Grande.
I have a friend who has a house there.
Oh, so what's up there? More beaches?
No. Playa Grande is one of the places where the leatherbacks lay their eggs.
You mean the U.S. Marines?
No, man. That's leathernecks.
Oh.
You don't want to call a marine a leatherback. That's a turtle.
You know, I just had this image of a marine squatting in the sand laying eggs.
Oh, man, you better not take this any further, or some leatherneck is going to kick your butt.
I don't think we should disturb the turtles.
Or the marines.
Do they bury their eggs on the beach?
You're talking about a turtle, right?
They lay their eggs at night, but there's guards patrolling the beach, making sure that you're not out there unless you have a guide and a permit.
So they protect the turtles?
Oh, they're trying. The local ticos used to eat the eggs.
I wonder what turtle eggs taste like.
You're not going to find out.
Mojo, what do you think about a turtle egg omelet?
You mean with red peppers, onions, and some salsa?
Yeah, pinto beans, rice, tortilla, a little hot sauce.
Okay, stop it, all right?
Okay.
Sorry. Leathernecks. Oh, man, you better watch yourself.
Guanacaste. It's named after a tree, the ear pod tree. Its pods spiral gracefully to the ground, its long branches spread out, providing shade for all creatures during the scorching heat of midday. It's also a great place to take a siesta or to sit in the shade and drink a nice cold beer.
You can see why I like Guanacaste.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Costa Rica and Nicaragua went to war over this territory. They finally settled it by having the locals vote where they wanted to be, and they chose Costa Rica.
Is it mainly ranches?
Along here, yeah. It is a lot of weird-looking cattle. You see those big humps on their shoulders?
Yeah, I did. Now, aren't those the same as the ones they ride in rodeos?
What's that?
Well, don't they call them Brahma bulls?
I thought a Brahma was some kind of high-caste Indian dude.
Oh, that's right, Mojo.
I believe they're called Cebu.
You mean the cows?
Sounds African.
They are native to Africa and Asia.
They say these Cebus can really take the heat.
You know, and speaking of cows, I've noticed there's a lot of cowboys riding around on horses in these parts.
They're called sabaneros.
Yeah, that's what they're wearing on their heads, right?
No, man. That's called a cowboy hat.
Oh, then a sabanero must be a lasso.
Oh, sabanero is a branding iron.
No, a sabanero is like a gaucho, you know? Oh, never mind.
Ah, these trees are amazing, aren't they? They're all in bloom.
Yeah. You see these big trees all covered with flowers? They grow everywhere.
What about those red ones? They're just as bright as lipstick.
They're called flame trees.
You know, I've been noticing the way they've sort of dropped their flowers in the road, sort of petaling our path as we approach. I wouldn't mind living here.
You mean by a ranch?
Sure. I can polish up my Spanish a little, maybe even call myself Tico Jack.
Tico Jack.
I like that. Tico Jack.
Yeah, I could live with that.
Oh, I couldn't.
Flamingo Beach. Now, finding the hotel that you booked in advance in Playa Flamingo can be a bit befuddling. Because there's the Flamingo Beach Resort, the Flamingo Bay Resort, the Flamingo Marina Resort, and the Hotel Flamingo Beach. Well, after checking into one of these resorts, Jack and Mojo stroll on down the beach.
This Lake Flamingo is one of the finest beaches in Costa Rica.
I can see why. It's sort of scimitar-shaped, pure white sand. It's beautiful.
It's their favorite spot for wealthy ticos and gringos.
Mojo, tell me something. Where are the flamingos?
There's no flamingos.
There's no flamingos on Flamingo Beach?
No.
Well, where'd they go?
They were never here.
Well, how did it get its name?
It was founded by the famous Spanish conquistador.
Which one?
Freddy Flamingo.
Was that before or after he played Vegas?
I don't know how it got its name.
Okay, look, I can live with no flamingos, so where's the turtles?
No turtles.
No leathernecks? I mean leatherbacks?
They laid their eggs a few kilometers south of here, at Playa Grande.
Well, how many beaches are there in this country?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe hundreds. And that's just on this side of the country. Don't forget there's the Caribbean side.
More beaches?
Yeah.
Shouldn't one of us be with Amy?
It's okay. She's with her friend.
Boy, these waves are really coming in.
Yeah, full moon tomorrow night.
You know, Mojo, this is a nice vacation, but I don't think I'm doing much good here.
Yeah, we'll figure this out.
Yeah, a lighter shade of pale.
What's that?
Pursuing the light fandango.
Well, let's hope it doesn't start pursuing us.
Jack, Mojo, this is my friend Nina Gonzalez.
Ah, Nina.
How you doing?
It's nice to meet you.
Are you Costa Rican?
No, I live in the U.S.
But you're Latino.
I was born in Venezuela.
Do you surf?
How did you know?
That's quite a tan you have there.
You're almost as dark as Mojo.
No, I'm not. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant no offense.
Oh, hey, that's okay. Paleface is just jealous, that's all.
I thought there were African descendants in Costa Rica, but everyone seems to be related to the conquistadors.
It's not like Mexico. There were very few indigenous people living here. They say about 98% of Costa Ricans are white or mestizo.
Mestizo? You mean part Indian?
Yes. Less than 2% are pure Indian or black. But on the Caribbean, in Puerto Limon, you will see the influence of the West Indies. There are Rastafarians, there's reggae music, Creole cooking. That's very different.
Speaking of food...
Oh, Nina told me there's a great place to eat here in Flamingo.
Well, I know where they make a wonderful Barcelona paella.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Good grief. Seems like I am thirsty here all of the time.
It doesn't rain up here for 6 months of the year.
It's the dry season.
It sure is. You know, I don't know how these Ticos... By the way, why are Costa Ricans called Ticos?
They say the name Ticos comes from the colonial saying, we are all hermaniticos, little brothers.
Ah.
But some say it's because they love to use diminutives. Small, chico, becomes chiquito and chiquitito or chiquitico.
You mean like, I'll be back in a momentico.
Yes, exactly.
Nina thinks I should see a curandera in Puerto Limon.
A curandera?
A medicine woman.
I've heard of an old woman they say is very wise. She also practices Santeria.
Santeria? Isn't that similar to the Brazilian candomblé?
Both religions have their roots in Africa.
Wasn't Santeria common in Cuba before the revolution?
Santeria originated in Cuba.
Oh.
It is still practiced there, but it's also practiced in Miami, New York, New Orleans, in many cities in the United States.
And apparently here in Costa Rica.
Santeria is not apparent. It may even be practiced next door by your neighbor, and you would not know.
I'd know. I can tell that voodoo drumming anywhere.
Santeria is not voodoo.
Oh, I know. That's what the Pentecostal people say, too, when they go into their trances and start speaking in tongues. Ain't new voodoo here, no, sir. That's just the spirit of the Lord shaking in me and making me do the boogie. Oh, yeah.
Is Santeria a secret religion?
It was, because they were persecuted, but now they just keep to themselves.
But don't you wish more religions would do that? I mean, just keep to themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Santeria is much more prevalent along the Caribbean.
I know there's more differences in Santeria and Haitian voodoo than there are similarities, but still, voodoo, candomblé, Santeria, they all deal with the orisha.
Oh, God, not those orishas again.
You know the orishas?
Oh, yes. I've shaken my hands with more than one of them.
What do you mean?
In Brazil, there was someone I knew who was involved with... Well, it's too involved. Never mind.
What are orishas?
They are gods, deities.
How many are there?
Well, they say in Africa, there may be about 600 different orishas.
600 deities?
But in Latin America, there's only about 20 or so.
Well, I'd like to know more about this curandera. Who is she?
She's like a priestess. a santera. You see, in Santeria, only a man may be a high priest, what they call a babalao.
Oh, is that like Desi Arnaz, you know? Babalu, babalu, aye?
Desi Arnaz was Cuban. One of the orishas is Babalu Aye.
You're kidding.
No, no. Babalu Aye is an orisha that has the power to cure or cause illness.
Cure or cause?
Yes, both ways. Babalu Aye is one of the most respected and well-loved of all orishas in Santeria.
And this old woman, what's her name?
Doña Fernandez. She lives in Puerto Limón.
What's their limón? What's that, the port of lemons?
Puerto Limón was named after a large lemon tree that grew where the town hall now stands.
Ah.
Well, that's nice. Naming a city after a tree.
So, Nina, you believe that Doña Fernandez may be able to tell us about this apparition?
This what?
Amy's light.
Doña Fernandez is a well-respected curandera.
She doesn't do TV ads, does she?
What's that?
Never mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. W. Lloyd DeLorean, I'm ready to go. I ask, are you ready for Baltimore here?
Smile, you make me laugh. You're an easy target to throw my popcorn at. You're a dancing monkey on a chain, led around by the Skull and Bones gang. Your over hawkish machismo distracts our attention and steals the show. The dark cabal who sells us out in a free-for-all. It's a tight-knit group with goals defined. It's social Darwinism of the Republican kind. They pass tax cuts and energy laws for cronies. Oil wars are waged to make the rich more money.
Provide the laughter!
election year. Buckle your seatbelts and get ready to vote, because it really isn't going to matter in the end. Yes, you need to vote for the party that I voted for the whole time.
None of the above.
We are undefeated in American elections. Yes, that's right. None of the above. Come join and don't cast your vote.
With his gun, crying like a fire in the sun. Look out, the saints are coming through, and it's all over now, baby blue. Take what you have gathered from coincidence, the empty-handed painter from your street is drawing crazy patterns on your sheet. The sky too is folding you, and it's all over now, baby blue. All your seasick sailors, they are rowing home. Your empty-handed army is all going home. Your lover who just walked out the door has taken all his blankets from the floor. The carpet too is moving on. baby blue. For you, forget the dead you've left, they will not follow you. The vagabond who's rapping at your door is standing in the clothes that you once wore. Strike another match, go start anew, and it's all over now, baby blue.
What from Pedro Show? That was Mr. Bob Dylan with It's All Over Now, Baby Blue, but not your trumpeting, butt trumpeting of your motorcycle. Before that, we had, Tone, you picked that Dylan song, right?
That's right.
And you also picked the one before it, Fortunate Son, Creedence Clearwater Revival. Before that, we had N-O-T-A. Wisconsin band. Well, I guess it's a one-man dealio, Justin Gorman. And then N-O-T-A, that's probably none of the above.
Yeah.
And
much like Mota, which...
Nota, not Mota. And the track was called Corpses and Clowns. And we started the third hour off with part two of Jack Flanders in Dreams of the Blue Morpho. Tone, you listened to a lot of Dylan, remember when we were younger?
Yes, we did.
It wasn't just you, it was me,
no,
too.
No, yeah. Because you guys turned me on to it, basically.
Probably up to Blood and the Drax, that record. We listened to all of those early ones.
Yeah. Because, like, I remember I knew about some deal, but you turned me on, like, a lot of the older stuff that I hadn't heard before and stuff, you know.
Right. Like that one, bringing all
that's
that
right.
Home.
That's an excellent album. Yeah. But those last three songs that you already played one, you said, but I thought...
Yeah, It's All Right, Ma.
Man, see, kind of went in with the other song.
It's Been...
and that one, too. I would have played all three of them. Those are the best, I think, on the record, at least.
And what made you play Creedence?
I was thinking of... Not correct. The Minutemen.
We're talking
about an old Minutemen. You guys covered that, and you know, D. Boone like Creedence. Well, you know, D. Boone was a big fan of Creedence Clearwater,
yeah.
Right? A lot of people don't know. Maybe,
well,
maybe they do.
Flannels.
That's right. So I picked that song.
Here's your CD. Mr. Vinny Vegas had to leave us. What do you have to do? Well, he's roaming around. He's on his mission. Oh, here's the CD. Sorry, Tony, just gave you an empty box.
All right.
So, Tony, do you have plans for any new guitars? You're talking about a Bouzouki.
Yeah, I've been talking about that.
Tone's pop side's got Greek. In fact, his name was for Platin. His grandpa changed it. His grandpa came home from Greece. In fact, some of the intense Pedro history. His grandpa ran several card pads, right? Like where Minchinapa is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But the name he came over with was Platonus.
Right, and then they shortened it up, and he's.
So his grandpa was here early. What did he do? Taxis?
He started out like first he told me, you know, the old, I peeled onions for 17 hours a day.
Yeah, right.
And then he said he bought a car and he started taxing dudes from Vallejo down here to this part of California. And he started up a taxi, like he came over here in 1912. Titanic, does that ring a bell? I think it's. And he started up that, and that's how he started. And then he ended up owning lots of bars and restaurants, and he's owning Dreamland Furniture here in San Pedro back in the 40s. And Tommy Minas, Tommy's Bar, he was one of his partners. And I guess there's a few liquor stores and other bars and stuff, but we're talking, you know, back. Ways back.
But the card pads, right?
Yeah, and he liked to play, what was the Greek game?
And then Prohibition came.
He used to bootleg his whiskey, and, you know, under the house, and
his salad in there. Pop used to ride with his grandfather.
Oh, really?
Sitting on the...
On a rumble seat, and coming from L.A., bringing some down here to the South Bay Area. And that was, you know, I guess something to make money with, right?
Yeah,
that's what it was all about. It was money, and he played Pinochle. That was the card. He won money big at cards.
There's a song called Bootleg. And it goes, take a glass of water, make it against the law, see how good the water tastes.
Yeah. I watched a show on some, seriously, this moonshiner. He said in like 3 months, I couldn't believe the amount. He said, and they caught him. He had these stills going on. This was recently, like last year. They gave him a year in jail because he's been busted a bunch of times. I think he was telling he could... Made $40,000-$50,000 a month just selling it to dudes in the mountains and stuff. So,
wow.
Like he said, he makes something illegal, right? Where people will buy the stuff.
So
back to Gramps. So that's what he was doing. He was, you know, bootlegging stuff and gambling. But he told me also he lost about $500,000 on horses back then. But yet he made a ton playing some card game called Pinochle.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. You win some, you lose big in the other. So anyway.
Yeah, he's
a Greek heritage.
You know, when he and Tom lived in the same building there on 23rd Street, his grandpa built the house next door.
Oh.
Bought it the first year. They built half, they added on. Added that whole back. Yeah, so
that
anyway.
Was the pad that his pop grew up in. In fact, there was a little pad in the backyard, which is his pop's.
Well, yeah, built into the three-car garage was it built. Yeah, they turned one of the plays, I guess when he was whatever 17, made that as, get out of the house. There used to be like a little bridge that would connect the house to the garage in the backyard.
And he joined the Navy.
Yeah, like your old man, but a little before. 4 years your dad was?
Well, your pop was a little older.
I know, it's not the same. Well, was he born? 26.
And my pop is like 39.
Yeah. I know.
He's only 52.
Well, my dad was, 60, so close.
Yeah.
Anyway, with the bootlegging and gambling, I guess, you could say it runs in the family a little bit. I don't know.
One time I was at Tone's pad, his pop was great spieler. Excellent. I mean, that guy would not... Now some people just talk and time to bore the hell out of him. This cat was great. Because he did furniture up at Barker's, so he got people skills really good. Mm-hmm. And not like a shyster who get people to buy what they didn't want. He'd find out what they needed and stuff, and it just made you feel good about being around him. He could talk about anything, man, and make you feel comfortable. One time I was over there, we're talking in Tanzania. Right?
That's right. It blew up in front of my house. I watched it blow up.
Wow.
I was me and him were looking up.
I'm facing the other way.
Yeah.
Tone actually saw it out the window.
You were still living there.
I lived on 23rd and Myler.
This is before 23rd.
Or 22nd.
On the other side of Gaff.
And he had this killer view of all. It's a three-tier backyard with a double balconies. And I remember my dad was there. It was 7 o'clock on a Saturday evening, looking out the window. And you really did. You just saw the pillar shoot 1,000 feet in the air, and then you heard it. Like, it was faster, the sound 7 seconds later, right? So you just saw this humongous and didn't know what the hell it was. I just remember driving down Stephen White Drive, all the garage doors blown off, windows blown off 40 miles away, and freaking Pasadena, they said they blew windows out.
Wow.
So that's Pasadena. How many miles? 30?
I got some rivets from that.
35 miles.
I got some rivets from that.
Do you really?
They were just sheared in half because my dad was on the fireboat then. He was a fireman.
So he probably helped put the thing
out. Fireboat 2 came and put it out.
Right.
Yeah. It blew up in 3 chunks.
Yeah, just, and I've never seen them sitting there. I'll never forget the next day. You just like, whoa.
The next day I went, they had that needle that forced the call back down.
Yeah, that's gone now, too.
That's right.
Remember speaking that. Of things that are gone, Peter, the shipyard, now DeCarlo's Bakery.
Couple shipyards.
part of Peter's heritage. Like the gentleman that was here earlier, right, talking about everybody in Peter's, like, because the Todd Shipyard is kind of heritage.
Yeah.
There was a time.
Now it's Yang Ming.
Right.
China shipping.
Yeah, you should be getting out of high school then and get a whole bunch of different jobs. Shipyard, cannery, you know, you could still buy
a patent
with a regular high school education and get a career.
That's right, you could. The shipyard, what a trippy trade. How many places do that? 3? I mean, up north in Seattle, I think back then, and here we had some.
Southwest Marine still on Turtle Island.
And maybe on the East Coast, there's that one place we went over.
And there's a little shipyard right next to Warehouse 1. Mm. On the other side, there's a little San Pedro shipyard.
Yeah,
just made them. They usually do Mexican boats. Like, something reefer. They only got reefer in their name. we got some Richard Meltzer here. He sent me a disc with like 50 spiels on it. And I'm going to take these spiels and put them together with the other sounds and do something I'm going to call Spiel Gusher.
Cool.
And like this, kind of like what you do with the spin cycle, put these mosaics together. And so here's a poem Richard gave me. It's called The Seven Seas of Love. I'm the Watt from Pedro Show.
The seven seas of love. Red, black, brown, beige, Caribbean, Adriatic, vagina. The seven seas of love, too. Red, black, beef, pork, pudding, fundament, wee-wee. 3. Black, brown, bran, wheat, cunny, butt, mucilage. 4. Menstrue, vino, saliva, sweat, hot and sour, sea number 6, napalm. 5. Rojo, verde, vegan, bako, butto, mush pie, tequila. 6. Dead, med, lava lamp, mackerel, snapper, ammonia, Velveeta. 7. Latex, cleavage, tum water, clit water, bath water, fart water, heroin. 8. Salt, no salt, scum, sand, snot, yeast, patchouli. 9. KY, K9, BJ, JO, estrogen, nitrogen, enema.
I want to ride with you, honey. I want to roll around the kitchen floor. I want to fight with you, honey. So we can make up and make love some more. You got a little bit of soul in your step. You're the best kisser I ever met. You never ever do what you should. Baby, how did you get to be so good? I'm saying hot, 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 woo, hot, 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 h
time, you're the woman for this man. We look so good together. Make me wanna. We look so good together. It don't get much better. I can't believe I'm by your side. Wherever you are, I'm coming. I wanna ride with you, honey. I wanna roll around the kitchen floor. I wanna fight with you, honey. So we can make up and make love. From Pedro Show. Here's Danko Jones with Hot Damn Woman. I got to play with Danko in Wiesn, Austria, this tour I just did with the Stooges. And he interviewed me for his radio show. You can go to DankoJones.com. He's got streaming off of there. He's a cat from Canada, Toronto, but he lives in Sweden. He's got a little trio and good guy. He's a very interesting man. I played with him before, a year before France. And I played with Ashton Masterson Watt. And before that was Richard Meltzer with the Seven Seas of Love. A little spiel for me. He said, get the spiel gushing going. Tone, you know Richard Meltzer because of his connection with Blue Oyster Cult, writing lyrics.
Yes.
Yeah, you actually met some of the guys in Blue Oyster Cult, right?
A long time ago.
How'd that happen? Was that a gig?
It was at a gig. Somebody at a...
Long Beach Arena?
I'm with this. Better?
Why don't you just sit up to it, Tom?
Okay. Well...
No, don't hold on to it.
I was...
Yeah, there you go.
All right. What do you want to know now? Yes, it's Long Beach Arena, Blue Oyster Cult.
When?
About
30 years ago.
God, it had to be 1976, 77, something like that.
Right.
Right? You were there, no?
No, I wasn't.
You weren't at that one because we've been, I said, what, 9 times with him, about 7. So
no, I think I left earlier because it was you and Mark.
And they,
I
some dude.
Separate. I went my own car.
Some guy went out and poured sugar in a bunch of people's gas tanks. So a lot of dudes were getting towed and they couldn't get towed. Truck driver in, right? So really late at night. So me and Matt Max went with us, who wrote their song.
I drove them.
Anyway, we went. I go. They weren't getting there. They said nobody'd be there for a good couple hours. So I go, let's go around back and see what, you know, was happening back there. And their limo was waiting. So big deal. So then they waited for a little while. Peeked out the door and Buck and about 3 of them came out. I don't think who wasn't there. I told you I didn't see. Was it E. Bloom or Lanier?
I don't know.
I can't. Yeah.
You got
one person wasn't there, huh? No. Someone else there and some girl was talking to him about his boots and he wasn't a big guy, but he's very fast for.
No, Buck is little. He's the only one I haven't met.
And but these, you know, really not cordial. And they stayed around top of people about a half hour, and, you know, went back out and waited for the tow truck. But who else? I didn't talk to anybody else. But yeah, he's.
So you saw Buck Diamond.
5'1" in his high heel shoes.
Steve Boone very influenced by Buck Diamond's playing.
In fact, one of the last paintings. Remember
that
last one of the last paintings.
That's right. Buck, was the Inside of Tyranny Mutation.
Buck's got the SG or the Les Paul in his hand. I can't remember.
He's rubbing it with Lanier or Bloom or something. Yeah, with Bloom.
At the end, they'd all play. Everybody would play guitar on the last, right? They'd all get the drum.
Why would Joe stay on bass?
Yeah, okay, it was still a guitar.
But Albert would jump off and play guitar, yeah. So they had no drummer.
And he ends up hooking up with
guitars.
Years later, that's ironic because I would say probably, what? Maybe one of your 3 most influential bands growing up for you,
yeah,
too.
We saw
you have
a lot
to.
Of times.
I remember 9. Okay, that's not Grateful Dead numbers, but like, you meet those guys. I did that when I was 6.
I got to push Jerry's limo once.
Yeah.
All right, Tony, I want to thank you much for coming aboard.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, Tony.
Thank
Brother
you.
Brother Matt, thank you much for the essential assistance, togetherness. We're almost done here with the August 1st, 2004 edition of the Watt from Pedro show. Be back next week, and I got some news, so it'll trip you out. But until then, keep your powder dry.